You good? Welcome. Thanks for coming. I'm going to open up the meeting. Today's date is the 19th. 4/19/17. I was fishing all day, so I lost count of the time of the day it was. And the meeting starts at 6 o'clock. And that's for the audio file. Yes? Okay. Is anybody recording the meeting tonight other than us? No? Thank you. At this time, I take any public comment. Yes, sir. And if you can go state your name and microphone.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Wayne Colaccini. You probably heard my name. I'm running for water commission open spot in another couple of weeks, but I live at 476 Main Street. I'm an engineer. I used to work for a water company back in the days and an ex-commissioner in New York. Last meeting, which pretty much took over, was the solar array, but I'm here more concerned about the cell tower. Reviewed a number of issues past the last 15, 20 years back in New York. And the detrimental effects depend upon the location, where it is to the residents in the town of Kootuat. There's a number of studies that were done showing the amount of footage of meters that should be away from someone based on the height and calculation. And I don't know if that was done or Mr. Kleekamp, Russ, had done that or looked at this. And I'm probably stepping up a little bit because I know Russ is going to give maybe an update on that. My concern basically is that location and what the detrimental effects are of a cell tower. There's a number of reports that I could give to you. I pulled the RFP from you on that proposal. I know you're going to the second bidder. I don't know any details. I just pulled this yesterday from Jen. And I'd like to help. I mean, I'd like to give you some information and maybe work with Russ and you guys to put in a location where it'll be safe for everybody in this vicinity. I did a lot of work with it as a commissioner back in New York a long time ago, and I'm here to help. I'm not here to yell or scream or anything like that. So I'd like to do that if I could, whether I talk to you gentlemen as a commissioners or with Russ. So we could do that at a further time. I don't want to go into all the details and reports and this and that, but I'd like to have that opportunity to discuss it with you gentlemen and also with Russ. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. Any other comments? Amy?
Amy Cates, 4782 Falmouth Road. Mr. Chairman and committee, I was wondering if you'd had any thoughts about putting the potential solar array on the ballot, so that you could give the taxpayers of Kootuat an opportunity to have something to say. You know, I think that that there's been an outcry. You know, we saw that at the town council, but I think that that's not the majority of the village. I think that things might be different if it was on the ballot. You know, I think that people did a good job getting people to come out, people to come out and speak against it. And, you know, I think it was well put together by the people that wanted to do that, but I wonder if it might make sense for the taxpayers of Kootuat to actually look at it and let us know what they think, because I'm not sure on the ballot that we would get the same feedback. Because I was at the town council meeting, a number of people have spoken to me. You know, they've seen me and they said, you know, I saw you at the meeting, and those people have spoken positively. So they weren't at the town council, they weren't here, they weren't solicited, by the people that wanted to see a negative turnout. And so things might be different, and I just wondered if you folks had considered an opportunity to do that. And I wasn't sure of the timing to get something on the ballot, but I was just wondering if there was any thought about that. Thanks.
Thanks, Amy. Anyone else?
Good evening, Jessica Racquisetti, 1611 Main Street, also Precinct 7 Town Councilor. I wanted to know if there was ever any input from the Policy Advisory Committee of the district with regards to capital improvement plan on the RFP for the cell as well as solar, if that was ever part of our peer review or a policy advisory meeting. Was the solar RFP and cell RFP ever put on the capital, long-range capital plan? The one I saw that was handed out a couple of years ago at the district, I didn't see either listed on there. That was kind of surprising. And with regards to the capital plan, the upcoming warrant, I see that there's an item for $500,000 to put some repairs to station. Do we have a rationale for that? Was that also part of a capital plan, and has that had some peer review? Thank you.
You want to address that?
As far as the policy advisory, I'm not positive. I don't believe that anything was done on that. The $500,000 that you talked about is a DEP mandated repairs, or excuse me, additions for our chemical feed system that we have. This is we were just doing it in a part-time basis. They consider it permanent after you do it a year. To have the proper it has to be integrated into our SCADA system with alarms, automatic shutoffs. You have to have backup pumps now, backup motors for it. These are all DEP mandated improvements that we're doing. One that is for $300,000. There's also $200,000 on that. That's kind of looped in at the same time because it's the same contract could do it, or whoever gets the bid would do it. It's going to be grouped together. It is to make one of our pumping stations a safer pumping station. It was one of the first ones built. It wasn't. It doesn't have a 6-inch gap off the ground. Because we're going to be raising the pump, we have to raise everything else that's there. So that's also another probably $75,000 that's into there, I believe. So that's the reason why it wasn't on the capital improvement list, I believe, is because it was brought to our attention late last year that it had to be done. And we put it off till we had more information to make sure everything, we would have to come to it and do it. There was talk about it last year right after the meeting, right around the time of the meeting. We chose to put it off another year and discuss it a little more amongst, or I myself talked to the company to make sure that there was no other way around it. And I wanted to try doing it without putting the chlorine in the water and make sure that we really needed to do it, and we do.
Okay, any other comments? Okay, good, to the minutes.
I'd like to make a motion that we accept the minutes from March 15th. And just so you know, the minutes are quite thick. There was a lot going on at that meeting. We had an opportunity to read these ahead of time, so it wasn't something we just picked up today.
I'll second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 It'll be on the website tomorrow.
Yeah, okay.
warrants. Complete the warrants. Water quality.
All right, all samples came back negative. We also did the MTBE back in the end of February. I did not have a report available last month, but those were all non-detects at the same time. So we haven't seen it in quite a while, so we're looking good there also. And we are flushing right now, so to continue with the water quality. We're almost done with the north side of 28. They were working, just started actually last week.
That's good.
Yeah, work moving right along, nice. Jump right into my report if you want.
Yes, sir. Yes.
All right, April, superintendent's report, April 19th, 2017. In March of 2016, we pumped 9,753,000. In March of 2017, we pumped 8,750,000, for a difference of 1,003,000 less than last year. We had a pretty warm jump last year in March, and I believe people started turning their sprinklers on a little premature last year and everything. It was quite a high year. There was about a million difference, just under a million the year before. Everything seemed to increase all of a sudden right around there. April kind of plays games with us. It either rains a lot or it doesn't, and it was right around the same for rain, so I'm putting it more on the weather than anything. We didn't have any services at all except for any new services. We did have two replacement services, one over on School Street where a person had a finished basement. They were a little nervous because of some rust that was showing. They did decide to replace it. And we had a house torn down over on Papanesset that we replaced a service on the loop out by the water. The hazardous mitigation grant program that we had done for the generator, where we it was a 75-25, we paid 25%, they paid 75. We just received our last reimbursement of that back on April 10th. So that is closed, done, that project's over. We saved quite a bit of money. It ended up being a little over 100, I think it was 108,000. We ended up paying a little under 30 for it, basically. And they paid the other 75%. So it was really worth it. I kind of just went over with the public comment a little bit on the chemical safety. I just didn't know if there was any other questions you guys had on it at all. That I chose not to ask Patrick to be here tonight. I was going to go to him if you had any questions on it or anything like that. But just,
well, we set it aside for how long now?
Over a year now. Yeah, just about a year. Yeah. So at this point, I think it was at the sanitary survey when the state came down that they mandated it afterwards.
Yeah. Have you heard anything from them?
No.
About
no, I have not.
And we
kind of a wait and see process right
and we
now.
Told them, we did tell them.
We told them that it would be done by February. And this point, I haven't talked to him. I've talked to him many times since then, and he hasn't mentioned anything to me right now, but it's going to come up.
Okay.
That completes that.
All right. Good.
Yeah. Chris, do we have a scheduled date yet for the deconstruction of the old water tower?
I will let Russ talk about that when he comes
okay.
up. We do have one, yes.
Okay.
There's a few things that have to be done beforehand. We have to disconnect the water main, connect to the other side. I have made plans to have the electricity taken out. The sheriff's department has showed up, taken their repeater off of there. So we're ready just about there. I have an electrician on, I guess we'll call it, on speed dial to cut the power.
Okay.
But we're still using it to the very end
yeah.
right now.
Yep. Good. Good on superintendent's report, Chris?
Yep.
Okay. Move into old business. Project updates from Russell.
Hey, good evening. Russ Kleekamp, engineer with GHD. May 15th is the new date for the decommissioning, the takedown of the tank. So just to give an update, we've gotten some cooperation with T-Mobile. We'll be looking to set up a site meeting next week, Monday or Tuesday, with T-Mobile and also with the demolition contractor and also with Centerline Communication, who was the second bidder of the cell phone. So there's some coordination going on there. It's routine. We're going to start taking a look at the site and seeing what our options are. They're fairly limited. I know there's been some request to work with the siting, where the tank goes, where it has to be located. In our preliminary discussions with the town, they've indicated that they want a minimum 200-foot setback from the road and not a straight line of sight. So if you look at the physical parcel lines, to the east, south, and west is all private property. So we virtually can't move in those directions. We don't have that ability. The cell phone companies have been very insistent that they can't go more than 500 feet because it is a pre-existing service and the triangulation of the radio frequencies. It's just not the way their operation works. So that gives us a 500-foot radius. We can't go east, south, and west. So that means we have to go north. There's an existing access road to the north, so we're going to look to push as far back north as we can to keep it away from the road, away from any line of sight, and to follow it right off the access road to minimize the trees we have to take down to put it in. And just what the process is for those of you who may be interested on how this has to go with the cell phone tower. In your packages tonight, you do have the lease agreement between Centerline Communications and the Kootenai Fire District. I believe it's been reviewed by Attorney Rick Mann, and all the changes have been accepted by Centerline. So what that agreement allows the developer to do is come up with his plan so he can show where the tower's even going. Right now, we don't have a definitive location. We don't have final plans. I'm not a radio frequency engineer, more a facilitator of the RFP. So what this lease that the commissioners would be signing tonight allows that developer to do is to move forward and start spending his money to get the land surveyed, to get where the property lines are, to start coming up with plans and locations where he can make a presentation to the general public through a civic association meeting to say, this is where we're planning on putting our tower. What are your concerns? And that's where concerns of yours would be raised. You know, we have concerns about potential health hazards, things like that. If the concerns are not satisfied at the end of that meeting, the next step to voice opinions is through the town of Barnstable, the site plan review, the growth management department, and those are regulatory agencies that do have the ability to stop the project if needs be. The issue with this is that it's pre-existing service. For those of you that have T-Mobile, Sprint, or AT&T, if these cell tower does not go back up, you could have impaired service. And in this day and age when everyone's relying on cell phones, landlines are becoming less and less. Families and children also, you know, rely on cell phones to keep in touch with the kids in case of emergency services. This is, again, the issue that we're really considering strongly and why we've been persistent on saying we do want to consider having the cell phone tower put back up there. So it's give and take. Again, nobody wants to look at a tower over the trees. We get it, but everybody loves to have a cell phone, the convenience of looking at your emails and texting and doing all this. And that's the downside about having the cell phones is you unfortunately have to have the towers. So there will be multiple times for the public to voice their opinion. Right now, I can't tell you the exact location. I can tell you the area. It's going to be to the north of the site, within 500 feet of the existing tank. What's going up there now are the temporary. They call them the cell on wheels, the cow for short. They're about 85-foot towers, and those are just an interim tower until the final one is sited and located. The cell phone carriers, per their leases with Fitua, do have the legal right to put up their cell on wheels, and the one up there now has been permitted by the town, and T-Mobile is also seeking their permits probably next week to get their temporary facility put up. So that's the latest with the cell phone tower. Again, we do have a demolition date of May 15th. That's when the demolition contract will be on site to take the tank down. There's minor punch list items related remaining with the tank, some landscaping, loam and seed, things like that are very minimal. And then we've also been getting the reimbursements for the USDA program. We have used the loan money, and we're now in the grant program, so I believe we've already received one check of $65,000 or $69,000, which is pure grant. There's no matching funds. And we have another request in for the next $171,000 for the reimbursement. So that's really a great thing for the district. Questions?
Okay. Yes. This, lease is in the package, Russ?
I believe it is. When I spoke with Jen today, she said she included it.
Okay.
I have one copy right here. Just for your information on it, the one spot that they do show it right now, it can change. It's subject to change if so told to. Is about 325 feet off of Main Street into the woods. If you were looking at the tank itself right now, it would be to the left, and it is about, just looking at this, I'm going to say about 400 feet from the tank, mm-hmm. going deeper into the well field. Mm-hmm. It's actually the location that you and I were talking about, not
off the existing
on the
road.
On the right hand side, yep. Going deeper into the into the watershed. It's about 170 feet off of the parcel line that runs through, which is the cemetery's land.
Mm-hmm.
About 170 feet from that, so I don't see, to tell you the truth, a house even close to it or anything like that.
I think
it would be deeper and further back, yes.
About as far back as we can
get
it, given our constraints.
How per the leases, Russ, how old were our leases with, do you know that? With
AT&T was month to month. Sprint was month to month. AT&T may have had a few months
left. AT&T is a tenant at will right now.
Tenant at will.
Yeah.
I think Sprint had a few months left, and then T-Mobile had several years that they, so that's why they've been a little more resistant. But we've had many conversations since, and they're very agreeable now.
That's awesome. Yeah.
To get their temporary facility up.
Okay. And do you think they're meeting any resistance at, for temporary, or they feel pretty good about it?
I think there wasn't much resistance for the one that was applied for. Again, it's hard to predict. I wouldn't, given the nature that you need the cell phone service or it's reliant, you would hope people would be understanding of that.
Right.
But again, if anyone has any questions about the process, how it works, how the approval process is, please call Jen and she can put you in touch with me. I'd be more than happy to speak with anybody, answer any questions. I know it's kind of a lot going on, and sometimes people may think you're going to wake up tomorrow and see a cell phone tower back there, and that's not the way the process works. So I do ask you to reach out and ask questions before you jump to conclusions.
Thanks, Russ.
Thank you.
Okay. Zach? No, Zach?
No. There's a note here from him.
Yeah, Zach could not make it. He sent an email here that says that the restoration plan would not be done by tonight from the landscaping company.
Okay.
So he'd like to check in and do it maybe by the next meeting or before.
That'd be great.
Yeah, he'll let you know as soon as it's in.
Okay. Okay, fiscal year 18 budget. Can I go with that, Chris?
The budget that we have here, you guys have seen many times. We did, Vic and I attended the Prudential Committee meeting on last Monday, was it, Vic?
Yeah.
The last one that was there to present the budget. And they had a couple questions on some of the stuff that had to be done here. But I don't think that underneath the maintenance and operations there was much of opposition to it.
Okay.
There were some questions on the special appropriation. I think that we answered those. The one thing they did have a problem with salaries.
Okay.
So.
Just to add to that a little bit, I, off the top of my head, I kind of calculated the difference between our suggested 3% and 2.5%. And I said it would be under $3,000. The difference in actually the when you sit down and do the numbers, it's about $1,473.75 difference. But this budget in the package still reflects our 3% suggested raise. So that's where we are with that.
Okay, Don.
I wasn't able to make the meeting with Prudential.
Yeah.
I usually work till 5 o'clock, and that meeting was planned for 4 o'clock. And I can't take my time off from work. I did understand there was some discussion about some stuff. I believe was there a question about some money from the grant? Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
There was a question from the chairwoman Parks on to when we were going to start getting reimbursed. There was a reimbursement check that went in February that I don't believe that the assistant treasurer realized it was a reimbursement check, but I think looking back in notes right now that. I have to contact Ron over at USDA and find out what's going on, because I was looking through some notes today, and there was talk about
every month getting a reimbursement check from USDA. Is Russ still here?
Yeah, he left.
I was told that we couldn't get reimbursed until money was spent. So I thought that's why we were putting it in like we were, but the treasurer, I believe, is looking for a check a month coming in. So I have to get in touch with the guy over at USDA and find out if that's possible. I just found this that Mike had said that the plan was to have one come in and that he had talked to Ron. So I'm not sure who really talked to who. So I have to straighten that out, and it was too late before I had that done before the meeting this evening. So I will try to get on that tomorrow and see if I can get a clarification on how the money's coming in and how we can get it here any quicker.
Didn't Russ just say there was $171,000?
Yeah, they put in for a reimbursement of $171,000 now.
And we already received $70,000.
I believe that the treasurer wanted it set up differently is what I'm saying. And I don't know. I didn't think it was possible to do it that way in the long run. But if he says it is, he's done these before. So we'll check it, look into it, see if that's possible. And excuse me, the ex-treasurer, excuse me.
That'll be fine.
Yeah.
And I think this is what's got the new treasurer a little confused with what's going on here. Mm-hmm. So I have to find out a couple things because I sent in a bill, too, that he refused to pay because there was, from Comtracts, they sent us a bill before anything's here, and it states in the contract upon receipt of merchandise. And Contracts is looking for it, I believe, before the receipt of the merchandise. So I have to get them and get them to get me a packing slip, basically, to submit with it. So that won't be paid until that first payment, until we can get that, too.
Okay.
So based on our understanding of how money was reimbursed, we were following the protocol that we were led to believe.
We were. This was an email that was sent back in February that Mike had said that this was, he was expecting payments once a month for 12 months for the remaining $500,000. That was
I just don't remember any of that being discussed.
Well, this was an email that was sent out. We didn't discuss that in a meeting. This was something that he had put out after going to a Prudential Committee meeting. So I don't know if Mike and Russ need to sit down or to talk about this and discuss the proper way that this is done, but we have to make sure it's coming in at everybody's on the same page here. It is coming.
We know that
it's going to be coming to us. I just have to find out what the vessel is and how it's getting here.
I just remember the fellow coming in from the U.S., the grant, and he said that we were going to have to
spend the money.
And
get reimbursed. I remember that too.
Yeah.
And it is called a reimbursement. And I mean, that was our understanding. Yes, yeah. We had to spend it before we could.
Right. Now, you're saying Mike to me, is Mike still in there handling this, or is it?
I believe
our
Mike
new
is doing, I would have to ask Fran. He's in a
Fran
advisory position, I believe.
Fran Parks, Prudential Committee. Mike is still acting as an advisor while our new treasurer is learning the ropes. Okay. Mike was under the impression that the $325,000 was going to become in monthly payments for a year, not the $2 million for the tank, but the $300,000.
The $500,000.
That was his understanding. Excuse me. The problem with the with your contract for the equipment for the
contracts, yep.
No, that you were talking about for the security system,
yep.
Is that Tony can't pay any bill until she has a receipt for the bill. She has to have a receipt in hand before she can pay any bill, whether it's $42,000 or $5.
I realize, and I figured because this was a bill for a contract that we had signed, that it would be okay. I understand that she needs for personal, I mean for supplies, and this was a contract we signed with them. Usually we can pay for them up front for something on the contract and then get afterwards. And I don't know if they realized that it was a contract. That's what I was
saying. No, she knows it's a contract. She's got she has a copy of it.
Okay,
but
we're
good. She can't pay anything to anyone until she has a valid receipt.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Do you want to discuss job descriptions?
Yeah, this is a thing that we've discussed at previous meetings, and it's been the subject now of a policy advisory committee meeting to come up with job descriptions for all employees of the district. Anyway, to get a start on that, and for you haven't seen it yet because Chris and Jen helped me put this together, but we surveyed the surrounding towns and came up with some of their job descriptions for their operator, and we thought that was the easiest place to start, the simplest job description. So we put this one together, and it's, as it says, it's a draft, and it's something that you can look at and comment on, and we can change. But the goal here, I think, is to get us to standardize job descriptions for all the water department employees and then eventually for all the district employees. But that's a start. And then we've added a little bit to this salary survey for all the surrounding water departments. And we're still gathering information for that. It's incomplete, but at some point once we get these job descriptions and compare those to surrounding water districts, we may adjust our salaries to bring those in line with the surrounding areas. But
so you'll want to do the job descriptions in the upcoming year?
Yeah.
Not for this?
Yeah, no, this is a year out. But There's a bunch of things to look at in here. One is the format. Is that a format that everyone can live with? Is it something that's adaptable enough to write job descriptions for other district employees? Then the elements, of course, are important. You know, is it inclusive enough? Is it descriptive enough? And the categories, are they proper, or do we need more? Do we need less?
Yeah.
And everything's in a bullet format rather than in a narrative. And is that the right way to go, or is more of a narrative way to go?
Yeah.
So this is the first shot out of the shoot, and something for us to consider. And if you want to discuss it tonight, we can, or take some time. I know you haven't read this over and pondered on it, so we can take that up.
Well, I'm glad you did it, Vic. It's good. We haven't had a chance to read it. I mean, we're not going to go to work on this until after this upcoming budget, so it kind of takes us back to the budget where we are with this annual meeting coming up. And I guess I feel like the sticking point is the difference between 3% and 2.5%.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite honestly beyond me to believe that we can't give our people 3% raise. It's beyond me. We're $10,000 a field operator behind on every field operator. That's why they leave and go someplace else. We have a senior operator that works for $65,000 as an assistant water superintendent, and those guys get paid $85,000 to $90,000 a year. We have a water superintendent work for $90,000, and he's behind by $10,000. At some point in time, we'll have to make an adjustment on the water superintendent once he gets to a reasonable amount of money.
Is that your duck? Sorry, you guys. My duck is ringing.
Good timing.
It was good timing. I guess it was kind of relative to the raise. I just don't get it. So that's my comment on it. Maybe I shouldn't have been first, but I really want our people to get paid correctly. There are water department employees. It's right next to oxygen. It's the most important thing that we have going on in town, and I'm tired of training them and having them go someplace else. If you don't think that's happening, just take a look back on the last 5 or 10 that we've had. They leave because they can. These are not union employees. You get a union in here, it'll be worse. So that's my take on it. I'd just soon stay at 3%. Don or Vic?
I'm going to be in favor of maintaining the 3% level. I agree with Ted. If you compare the employees' pay throughout water departments on the Cape, fall short all the way across the line. And we've lost employees in the past to go other places to make more money. There is a cost that comes with having to replace people, to go without having enough people to do the jobs over time is demanded by other employees. There's a cost with the training. You get them trained to what you to do the job, so you have an efficient process going here. And then and if you think they don't know that people are complaining about or hedging on them getting a raise, and if it doesn't affect them, then I don't know what to say about that. They're human beings. They have families to take care of. The taxes go up. Everything goes up. Health insurance, stuff like that. They're just trying to make a living to do a job for us. I don't know why we would want to squeeze them. And that's how I feel it is. So I'm in favor of keeping it 3%.
I think ultimately the 3% doesn't bring them in line with the rest of the water districts. It, you know, it gives them some incentive to stay after they've been trained and after they've got their certification that we pay for, the training. Long-term, I think getting those jobs classified correctly and getting their pay levels up to what other districts in the area are getting paid is the answer, but giving them 3% this year, I think is, you know, a good investment. The training that Don spoke about, not only do we pay for their state certification training and training courses and their work and sweat, but Chris's during that training period is spending his time and spending his efforts to train them. Which is an investment, you know, that you have to look at from that standpoint, too. So when we lose employees, and I think, Chris, we've lost 6
yeah.
to better-paying jobs, and you have a small workforce of, you know, 5 employees, losing 6 over the last 5 years?
Yeah.
Is
5 over the last 5, yeah.
5 of the last 5 years is detrimental to the working of the water department. So, yeah, I support giving them whatever we can at this point, but ultimately adjusting those job descriptions and the pay scales to be on a par with the rest of the districts.
I think that'd be great, Vic. I really do. That once you get that organized, it'll be helpful.
I just want to say, and you know, I'm not, of course I want to raise. Of course I do. But I just want you guys to know, I did tell Vic this. The retirement board right now is going to be voting this month for a 0 to 3% COLA increase. The state of Massachusetts has okayed them to give up to a 3% COLA increase, cost of living increase right now. So if they're setting it 3%, all basically they're asking for is the cost of living at this point. And if the state's putting, of Massachusetts is saying that 3% is cost of living in Massachusetts, I don't see the big deal. I don't see why we should give them something that's under right now. What the state is saying is the cost of living. That's all.
Okay.
So we all set in the budget now?
We need to vote to approve the budget.
Okay.
I don't think we do. To that next meeting.
If this is the budget you guys want to present as going, I don't know if you'd like to discuss it again with anybody or vote. It's up to you guys.
We have to have it. When do we need to have this paperwork in for Prudential and all the paperwork to be ready?
No, it'll be before the next meeting.
Is there a set date? Yeah, to be put print out. Monday.
Okay.
All right. For those, for the microphone, all this has to be in by Monday night, the 24th. So we're going to deal with it now.
Okay. Make a motion.
Make a motion that we pass the budget as proposed here. All right. Let me get my glasses.
Get your glasses on again.
The budget for fiscal year 2018 to be $621,300, an increase from 17 that was $596,153. So approximately $25,000 increase for the year.
Is that a motion?
That was a motion, yeah.
Okay, I'll second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. So I guess that new business was completed, Vic? New business?
Yes, I believe
we
so.
We did good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Any other new business for? Yeah.
We can have an open
house. Can we review? Yeah, we're going to have an open house.
Yeah.
We'll accept that next month with the new tank.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Have hot dogs.
All the people here know, we're going to have an open house for the new tank. We're going to have, you know,
hamburgers and hot dogs.
This is their new tank, and you may have some grill some hot dogs and hamburgers out there, and let people see the whole thing and do that.
We haven't got a date yet. We'll set it on the next meeting yet. All right. Next meeting.
There's a couple things that are in the packet here that you've got to be aware of.
Oh, this
Friday morning at 10 a.m., we got an email from Janet Milkman from the Barnstable Land Trust. Mm-hmm. They're going to be doing a celebration of the 16 acres of Lowell Park Woodlands. They're going to do a small ceremony out at the corner of Putnam Ave and Lowell Road. Presentation of the sign that's out there right now, basically.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys have been invited. So if any one of you can make it,
please do. They should call my boss first.
Errol, that's nice. I'm glad they invited us. Thank you.
Also, there's a few things that came out in the Kituit Currents newsletter. I believe you have them there.
Yep.
They're going to have a candidates and budget night on May 16th here at 7:30. They're, I don't know, there's a couple different dates here. Something's, I believe it's at 7:30. Okay, thank you. And the other thing is, on the June meeting, they're going to be presenting a discussion on water quality issues, and Town Manager Mark Ells will be here at the meeting. This letter is the first time I've heard of it, so I'm not really sure if this is about the
estuaries.
About the. Oh, okay.
So it's not about Kootuat water?
It's about the.
It's about estuaries and our other. Yeah, okay, thank you.
Okay.
Okay. And Chris, I see one more. I see an FYI in here for Public Employee Committee. No representative of the water department.
Yeah, Fran, before you go, I just wanted to discuss with you, there was a meeting, something to do, could you maybe just give us a quick, I'm not sure what happened on there.
Fran Parks, Prudential Committee. On April 11th, we had a public employee committee as required by state law if there is any changes in the health insurance that's offered.
Okay.
And there were changes that were to the copays and the deductible. Jen came to the meeting, but the only people that were allowed at the meeting was one union representative and one retiree. And the state chose the retiree. So it was Sean Clark and Mike Lloyd, and I was just there to open the meeting and listen.
Okay, so this is something between the union and I had never heard of it before. That's why I sent Jen over there. We were talking. I said, I have no idea what it is. So if you
well,
could swing over.
I tried to ask if I could have a representative from the water department come to, one of the employees come. And they said no.
Oh.
It, the way the law is written
by the
legislatures is they only included union members.
Union.
They didn't include anybody who works for a town who's not in a union. Hmm. So what we made a decision about was how the savings, any recognized savings, were going to be distributed to the employees on the health insurance.
Okay, thank you.
Your first name again?
Wayne.
Russ is available anytime. You find Russell's very good. This has been a long process, not a couple of days. So if you'd want, if we take help from anybody. Yeah. They've been on those issues, believe me. Yeah. We've been on those issues. You'll find him very thorough. That's no problem. GHD is the engineering firm. They're right over there up beside the Eastern Mountain Sports. And Merrill Lynch is in the same building with them. If you have some things that you'd like to discuss with him, he's serious. He'll come. He'll do it, and right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, we welcome the help. Yeah, we really do. And you can help us, it'd be great. All right.
It's gone a long time with no one here.
Yeah. All right, Wayne, thank you. That's great, yeah.
Okay, and before you guys...
I'll set a date.
I have the lease from the cell company here.
Okay.
It's been looked over by our lawyer, talked back and forth. It's taken less than a month, really, for them to redline it, go back and forth, so that everything, all the language is there. The only thing we're waiting on right now is I talked to Jonathan Finn today. He was on vacation, but he called me. about insurance liability. There is a $2 million personal and a 10 aggregate. I'm not insurance, so I'm not really sure. My wife would probably know. But they want to change it from 1 million to 10, to make the variance 1 and 10 instead of 2 and 4. So I asked him if that would be enough, if not, that we change it. So what I'm kind of looking to keep this moving, so we're not really waiting, is to have a motion made that the chairman sign this once the motion, once we've figured out these liability insurance questions, yeah, and then it's been decided, and that way we won't have to have another private meeting or another time to get together. You guys could have just one of you sign it at the time.
We did that the last meeting, didn't we, with Bert, for Bert's
I don't believe so. I'm not positive. We got the 9 pages of notes here if you want to go through them, or you can just make another one.
That's fine. We can make another motion.
In order to be safe, we can just be redundant.
Right. I would like to hear it, if possible, that we make a motion to assign when approved.
Okay.
Yeah. And does Mark has seen this too? Mark?
I can have Mark certainly look at it, but Rick Mann's been doing it. He's talked to him about it in the past. Mark's been working on getting the other people off.
Right. Well, he's been doing a good job with T-Mobile.
Yeah, he's done a great job.
Once Attorney Mann got plugged in with Mark, that really helped us a bunch, I think.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay.
So I'd like to make a motion that the chairperson sign this contract when all the final things with insurance are taken care of.
I'll second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, Chris.
Now with date.
May.
Yeah. The third Wednesday is the 17th.
May 17th, yep.
Good for me.
Good for me.
17th should be good for me.
Next meeting will be May 17th.
6 p.m.
6 p.m. here at Freedom Hall.
Everybody's released. Thank you for coming.
We'll see you then. Would you like to adjourn?
Make a motion that we adjourn.
Nick, second?
Second. Second motion to adjourn?
Yes.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
This right here is the South